Oh, hey, 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 honey.
Let's hear it for the tambourine.
Oh, when you're good, you got to show it, you know?
Absolutely.
Now we're in for the treat. Now we're into, might I say, another treat, because we gave ourselves a treat there with Janie's help. But this is a treat of hearing our Barbara give out the thoughts that she walks with in life. You know, all of us, we think we're closed book. We're not closed books. None of us are. Really, even when we have our mouths closed, we're telling a lot. But Barbara's going to open her mouth and share some of her thoughts with us. And I know we're going to love it. It's our Barbara.
It's a delight to be here. It's a delight for me because I don't know what the angels are going to say tonight. So I'm open to anything. No, but seriously, giving all glory and honor to the angels who do work very much with me on these talks. I've been in Millie's presence for 19 years, and last week when we were celebrating St. Patrick's Day, I went up to her and gave her a special hug, because the first time I met Millie was St. Patrick's Day 19 years ago, and she was wearing a green dress, and this was when the forum was held in another facility, and she took my hand and she said, "Hi, I'm Millie, and you know, welcome, and will you help me decorate the church for St. Patrick's Day?" You know, but you know, that's such a wonderful thing to give somebody something to do right away. Because it makes you feel like you're a part of. It makes you feel like you have a purpose and something to do. So 19 years later, here I am. And now I'm opening my mouth, which is pretty amazing. About 10 weeks ago, I gave a talk here on Sunday morning. And I know some of you were here. It was my talk about fear. If you didn't hear that talk, raise your hand. Perfect. For those of you who did, I'm sorry. No, not that I could replicate it. It turns out it was kind of a funny thing, but for some reason the angels didn't let the system record that talk. So I have no idea what I said, but I'm just going to throw a couple points from that talk into what I also will talk about tonight. But I know I started that talk with the fact that I have this tremendous fear of public speaking, and I'm very shy. So Eva's shaking her head. But truly, you know, when I was in college, I did everything I could to not have to take a public speaking class. It was like, I'll take three more classes in math if I don't have to do public speaking. So, you know, Jane and I, on the way over, she was saying, you know, you're just so comfortable up there. I'm really impressed with that. And I'm like, you know, I guess it proves that people can really change, because truly, I was the shy little thing. So I've changed a little bit. But what I mostly want to talk about is how I ended up here. And, you know, sometimes people come up to me after a service and say, you know, how do you get your messages? And, you know, how does it really work? And I think if Millie and I could give you a little formula or a magic spell to say, that would be a great thing. But it's different for everybody. And in some ways, it's this inner voice or intuition that we all have to some degree. Certainly 19 years ago, I could not have stood up here, let alone give messages. So there is, part of it is growing and developing it, and part of it is quieting yourself to let the angels talk. But to kind of go back to just a few months before I met her in 1991, March 17th, into the previous December, my mother, who had been healthy and was a mere 59, which seems very young these days, had a horrible headache and ended up in the hospital with a brain aneurysm. And my father called me from Phoenix and said, your mom's been having seizures, and we really need you to get over here. I don't know what's wrong. And at the time, I had a brother with brain cancer, so we knew all about seizures in our family. So it's like, now what? But the morning he called me at 4 a.m. to tell me this, I had planned to take the day off from work because I had Carpeteria coming to install carpet in this new condo I just purchased 2 weeks earlier. And I still had a lot of my things in boxes and, you know, in anticipation of the carpet coming in to be laid. So I hadn't really completely moved in. And I thought, I can't just get on a plane to Phoenix. I've got these people showing up. So I tried to call Carpeteria and cancel, you know, and I felt bad about it, but I really wasn't going to be there. And the manager said, well, they're already on their way, and, you know, they're licensed and bonded. Don't worry about it. You know, just give them your key. They'll lock it inside and, you know, call us when you get back from Phoenix. So I walked outside my condo building after they rang the doorbell, and I walked down to the truck, and they said, you know, we want you to look and verify that we have the right carpet and padding. I said, okay. So I looked, and I looked at the carpet, yeah, and I looked at the padding, and this voice in my head said, loud and clear, take a good look at the padding because you will never see it inside. I've never had a message before like that, you know, so this was, well, 19 years ago. I was in this weird shock state because of the early morning call, and as I get this message, a friend pulls up to take me to the airport, and everything's going really fast, and I'm just like, yeah, that's my carpet, and yeah, that's the padding I'm paying an extra $400 for, and here's my key, and okay. So I go to Phoenix, and my mom is dying of this brain aneurysm, and she did die within a week of that, but because this was right before Christmas, I had already had a plane ticket to fly to Phoenix for Christmas. And, you know, I kind of have this theory that oftentimes the soul knows before they're going to go. And even though this was a fluke that my mom was going to die this Christmas of 1990, I think on a soul level she knew something, because my mother was never prepared for Christmas. That year, as she's in the hospital having all these seizures, the Christmas tree was already up and decorated. She already had pans of lasagna in the freezer. All the gifts were already purchased. Everything was already ready. So I had left in such a hurry that Friday morning that I hadn't brought my gifts. I hadn't brought all my clothes. I just grabbed something and got on a plane. So after a few days, while my mom was somewhat stabilized, I got on a plane, came back to San Diego, knowing I had a flight already booked to go back to Phoenix the next day. And I tell you all this because when I unlocked the door to my condo, the voice in my head came back and said, take a good look at that padding because you'll never see it inside. I walked in, and the new carpeting was lovely. I looked around. It was springy. It had taken 10 years off the condo. But I went to a corner, and I pulled up the carpeting, and there was a blue pad instead of the yellow. And I checked other corners, and yeah, I wasn't crazy. It was the 20-year-old pad that had been there. Now, you know, you could say this is no big deal, but I, at a time when I'm so vulnerable, I felt so violated and ripped off, and started to look around and could see that they had gone through my boxes as well and had stolen tools. And they had my key for who knows how long. So I didn't know if they had gone and made a copy and could come back at any time. So this was kind of late at night, and I was flying back the next day. But the next morning I woke up and I went to Carpeteria and talked to the manager, and he looked at me like I was crazy, like, you know. No, they wouldn't do that. I'm like, yeah, they did, you know. And I just felt so upset that I said, come and take the carpet out. I'm not going to pay you a cent, you know. And I said, in the meantime, my mother is dying and I have to get on another plane. So I argued with that man, and he said, well, when you get back to town, I'll come out and look at it and see if indeed you're correct. And I got home, and there was a phone call from my dad saying, call me. And that's when I found out that my mom had died while I was arguing with Carpeteria. Anyway, you know, it's a tragic story. 19 years later, I can tell it without sobbing. But I tell you this because I think I don't have any more of a gift, really, than all of us in this room, that we do get messages. We do get these voices in our head, or these feelings in our stomach, or how pictures of something. And, you know, it started 19 years ago, and now they talk to me all the time. I saw a psychologist for a while, because my mom died, and then my brother died of brain cancer. And I needed to kind of grieve a bit and have a safe place to do that. So talking with a psychologist, I'm telling her about these voices I hear in my head. And she said, well, you know, it sounds like you get really good information, so I'm not going to worry about you too much. So, but you know, as recently as last week, I was at the top of my stairs, and the voices said, it was nighttime, they said, turn on the light to go down the stairs. And I said, I'm going to be fine, to my angels. And I fell down the stairs. I mean, you know, it's like you would think I would learn that, you know, if they say something, it's kind of important. So anyway, just 2 or 3 months after my mom's crossing, my hairdresser, who I see every month, and I was crying in her chair January, February, and March, and she finally says, you know what? There's this precious woman who was in this church over there on Wednesday nights, and you really need to see her, and you really need to have a connection to your mom. So I walked in that day. Millie was wearing the green dress, and after I hung the shamrocks for her, she took my hands and started bringing through wonderful messages about my mother. And what a comfort, what a healing that could start to occur after just feeling like, not only have I lost my mom, who died tragically way too young. At the time, she had just gotten her first two grandchildren. She was just starting to enjoy some of the blessings of her life. And then feeling violated by these people who took advantage. And then I meet this wonderful woman. And I kept coming back because each week as she would take my hand, she would say something more. And I never forget one night, I just hung up the phone for my dad and then went to the Wednesday night service, and she took my hand and she said, who's the diabetic? And I said, well, that's my father. And he was grieving. He had all of this guilt for not getting my mom to the hospital sooner when she had this horrible, horrible headache. And he just never imagined himself being diabetic, that she would precede him. You know, he was just in total shock. And so she brought through some stuff about my dad, and then about a year goes by, and my dad has met this, reconnected with a woman that I knew during my childhood. She was a Sunday school teacher at my childhood church, and she had lost her husband, and they wanted to get married. And, you know, it was a wonderful blessing, but at the time, I'm still like, nobody can take the place of my mother. I mean, come on, you know, you want to get married when? But no, you know. And so I was being immature, but they were honest feelings. And I show up on a Wednesday night, and Millie takes my hand, and she says, I'm getting the letter C real strong. And I'm like, well, you know, our last name is Christensen. She's like, no, no, no. And she's like, you're really upset, I can tell. And I said, I know, my dad wants to get married, and I know it's a good thing, but... So she goes up, and she starts the service, and I'm like, oh, her name is Carol. So You know, and it was a wonderful blessing for my dad to remarry and have somebody to spend his life with. And so much healing occurred for me, knowing that this was a place I could come and sit Wednesday night after Wednesday night and cry and cry and cry as long as I needed to. And it was quite a while. But most days the tears have dried up, and I've kept coming back. I've taken classes. I've started to acknowledge that the voices in my head really do have some wonderful information for me. And then I realized that just as I was given great comfort and healing, that it would be such an honor for me to have this gift and give something to others who are going through a similar grieving situation. And through the classes, that started to occur, you know. And those of you who have been in classes have had some inkling of how special that is to even if you're not getting the message yourself, maybe you look like somebody that passed on and you get to feel their energy with you as they're trying to connect with a class member. It's just such a wonderful feeling, as you learn from Millie, to do God's work. Doing God's work isn't hard. Doing God's work doesn't really tire you. This woman is so busy doing God's work that she has more energy than all of us put together. Anybody agree with that? I mean, this woman, she, you know, we'll all be fading by 9:15, and she'll say, who wants to go out for coffee? Or who wants to meet me for breakfast tomorrow? Or, you know, because doing God's work really does energize you. And driving over here tonight, poor Jane. She gets the gift of me driving her and picking her up and giving door-to-door service, but she has to listen to me moan about my work week. And my work week can be really challenging. And I dump it on her because I can't dump it on my 6-year-old and 8-year-old, you know. It's there, you know. So I dump it on her, and then I get here and I feel all this wonderful love and energy from all of you. And then I have the privilege and the honor to tap into some of your angels and the people that love you and try and give you a gift back. And sometimes I miss the mark, but sometimes it's right on. And when you get that feedback and you know that you've really been able to help somebody heal, there's really no better feeling for me. And you may agree, but it just feels so good. And I love the way the angels give me the messages. You know, the one about the padding was like hitting me over the head, very direct. But oftentimes, the way it works for me is with pictures. And I'm just going to share a couple, I wouldn't call them my greatest messages ever, but just a couple quick stories. One, we had and I've told this story before, so I apologize if those who know it, but there was a young man who started coming to church or to Wednesday nights probably about 15 years ago. And he was in and out of using drugs and had lots of issues, but delightful, handsome, wonderful young man, Ron, I'm going to talk about. But, you know, he came in skeptical, and skeptical is healthy. You know, we want you to be skeptical because, you know, we're not here to rip you off or take advantage or steal your carpet padding. You know, we're here giving of our time because we've come to the place of knowing that this is real, and as we get this tenfold return, this good feeling of doing God work when we can serve you, whether it's doing the healing upstairs or giving you a hug or giving you a message from your loved one. But Ron was skeptical, and the first one or two times he came up to me afterwards and he was like, if you're so psychic, tell me my middle name. Well, I was clueless. They weren't giving me his middle name, and I said, well, you know, let me see what happens. But even with that skepticism, he kept coming back, and he started falling in love with everybody as we fell in love with him. And one day after a Sunday morning church, he and I went out for pizza down on Adams at DeMille's, and the pizza arrived. We're in a booth. We're opposite each other in the booth. And hanging over the pizza in the air was the word Eugene. Oh. And I said to him, "Your middle name is Eugene." And he just, you know, almost was so shocked he couldn't eat the pizza, but he pulled it off. But I laughed and I said, "You know, your skepticism was healthy, but you asked me for your middle name. You already knew your middle name. You know, the angels didn't have to tell you your middle name. Most of the messages we give are messages to help you get to that place of knowing that there is a connection to your loved ones. For me, my connection to my mom and my brother. But I said, as you opened up your heart, Ron, you were able to invite your angels in closer, you know, so that I could finally one day read what they had written in the air over the pizza. And it sounds corny, but that's exactly what happened. The last little story I'll tell is that, it was probably about a year after my brother Bob died. And we were in the other church, and in the other church, I would always sit in that spot. And it was a joke. You know, people said, "Oh, no, you better not sit there. That's where Barbara likes to sit," you know. And it was a spot where I could kind of keep an eye on all the congregation. I could help Millie if needed, but I could kind of know what was going on. And one time I had been working healing, and I came out, and there was somebody in my spot. And she wasn't moving. She was there with a service dog at her feet. And I had never seen her before, never saw her since. And I thought, okay, I have to sit over there. So I did. I decided to be flexible. And after we completed the service, she came up to me and she said, "Who's Bob?" I said, "Excuse me?" And she said, "Who's Bob?" And I said, "Well, that would be my brother Bob, who died of brain cancer a year ago." And she said, "I'm a hospice nurse. And the whole time you were up there, he was in my ear saying, 'Tell her Bob is here. Tell her that I love her. Tell her I'm always with her.'" And as much as I now am on this side of the room, that brought chills to me, and that made me cry again, because some people think what we do here might be a little bit crazy, and your skepticism is healthy, and we don't ask you to believe it until it's proven to you. But give us a chance. More than giving us a chance, give your angels a chance to let you know that they're with you and they will always love you. Thank you. Went back. They came and looked at it, agreed that I wasn't crazy. They looked, you know, talked to the guys, fired them. They talked me down from ripping it all out, but they did. I forced them to take it all up, put the new padding down, and then they discounted the bill $1,000.
Yay! So.
Thank you, Anthony.
That helped pay for your extra tickets to Phoenix.
Life is an interesting adventure, huh? Interesting adventure. Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you, Millie.
Yes, she's surely been faithful to all of this.